While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With seven drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Hello and welcome. It's another edition of Coffee Talk on the Pitcherless Podcast Network, where we are always ready for that next cup of coffee. My name is Trevor Huth, and I am joined, as always, by Nate the Great Kosher. Nate, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. I coached high school baseball. We won tonight, so I guess I don't have too much to complain about. Also, while I'm talking about not having much to complain about, I do want to thank our listeners, Nate, because we put a call out last week to find a play that I thought I imagined up or dreamed up or whatever the case may be. And our listeners, our dedicated listeners came through. We are so grateful for you guys. Thank you so much. I'm glad we found it and Nate was able to see the play. And also, I can't lie, I'm glad I'm not going crazy.
Yeah, thank you. Multiple people tagged us, so we were able to see that. So I was finally able to see what you're describing, which was interesting. The Ellie De La Cruz pickoff, and he was even kind of chuckling about it himself.
Yeah, he counted. So, he was like, "Oh, it's only one. That's only one." I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
So we'll see. He's having a heck of a season, so the teams are going to have to do whatever they can do against him.
He's pretty good at baseball, I would say.
Yeah, he is. He is very good at baseball. He learned. Yeah. He's learning quick.
He is. He is, and he can do so much. He's so, oh my gosh, he's so much fun to watch. So, anyways, thank you for that. And speaking of baseball players who can do a lot, in the past, in a few episodes ago, we talked about Gerangelo Sinche, the switch pitcher at Mississippi State, which led into a conversation about the last pitcher who was a switch pitcher in Major League Baseball. Well, thanks to the wonderful work of Nate, I did none of this. I get no credit. I'm just appearing on the podcast. Thanks to the wonderful work of Nate.
Thank you.
Our next episode. So next week's episode, we will actually talk to the last switch pitcher in Major League Baseball. And that is Pat Venditti. And I am so excited to be able to do that. And that's coming up next week.
Yes. So tune in next week. We're excited to have him on. I believe now he is retired out of Major League Baseball, but it'll be interesting to talk to him kind of about his process. And I also would like to kind of get his take on this college pitcher and see if he thinks he'll be able to succeed, kind of what he has to prep and think about going forward. So, very excited. Our first invited guest. I guess we had a guest host, but we've never had an interview guest. So that's very exciting.
And we're starting on a high note. I'm really excited for it.
Yes, likewise. So hopefully listeners enjoy it as well. And maybe it'll be the start of guest appearances. Maybe we'll have other people on.
Yeah. Hey, who knows what the future is going to bring, but I know I can tell you next week we are going to have the opportunity to delve deep into the world of switch pitching, which is not something that, I mean, I could honestly tell you a lot about. I could tell you a lot about pitching in general, I'm sure. Not as much as a pro pitcher could, but to do it both ways, it's. I'm so excited for that conversation. I'm such a big nerd, Nate. Like, I am so excited to hear about, like, the nitty-gritty, the process, the all that stuff. And hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about all that with him. And we couldn't be more thankful to Pat for being willing to come on. So again, that will be next episode, not this one. This one you're stuck with just Nate and I. It's still going to be fun. And we're going to jump in actually with our What's Brewing news segment. And we're going to start with, we'll start in Arizona. I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like there's one of these a year where insects just take over a baseball game. And yeah, it happened to be bees lately. So as the Diamondbacks fan, Nate, I'll let you take over. But
sure.
I feel like this does happen a lot.
Yes, and the bees have even happened before at Chase Field. It's not the first time it happened. But during a game last week against the Dodgers, there was kind of a swarm of bees on a net, the netting behind home plate. So it actually delayed the start of the game until a hero was called upon. And this beekeeper insect pest control guy came, cleared the bees. They let him throw out the first pitch. And then there was many, many bee puns. And then also a ticket. The D-backs had some ticket deal, like, with something about, I don't know, it's buy one, get one free. But somehow they put it into a bee pun. And then this guy got cheered, and he got his 15 minutes of glory. But, yeah, it actually delayed the start. And that would not be fun while you're trying to play baseball, get stung by bees. But there's been others, like you said.
Big shout out, big time shout out to Diamondbacks admin running the Twitter account, because their pun, their bee pun, while the beekeeper was saving everybody, was, "I can be your hero, baby."
See, there you
fantastic
go.
Fantastic work.
Elite.
Fantastic work. I love it.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it was pretty funny. I turned on the game, and I'm like, what's happening? There's not a rain delay, obviously. And no, it was a bee delay.
It was a bee delay. You know, back in the day when I played, when we talk about pickoff moves, we'd have our A move, our B move, C move, and all that. This was the Diamondbacks B move, I guess.
This is the B move, yeah. Like,
so awesome. You gotta love baseball, man. Things just happen.
Yeah, it's so random. Exactly. That's the thing. Like, this switch pitcher in college, you know, we're going to talk about next week, is such a niche topic. Think about how many baseball games and how many baseball players there have been, and it's rarely happened. Same with the bees. So yeah, something fun to keep us occupied.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of things that are fun, my favorite team, the Detroit Tigers, they dropped their City Connect uniforms earlier today, the day we're recording. Obviously, we record Mondays, we release Tuesdays, but the Tiger City Connect jerseys are out. I love them. I really do. I think they're fantastic, Nate. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just looking at them here. So I will say I do like them also. What I've also liked in general has been the teams, like, release videos or announcements with the City Connects. A lot of teams have done, like, pretty cool videos. I saw the Rays just did something like, "There's our base on skateboarding," or something, yeah, like that, which is pretty cool. But I do like the Tigers. I'm guessing in the middle, the blue highlights supposed to be maybe like tire treads or tracks. Is that what the vibe you're getting?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe it's just a design they want to try to add some color into it. I'm not really sure, but I think they look sharp. I like the coloring. I like the font. I like that it says Motor City. The one thing, if I were to change one thing, I think I would change the hat. I don't even mind that it just says Detroit in full. But what I think is weird is that on the hat, it says Detroit, and on the jersey, it says Motor City. And I feel like if you're going to you know, commit to the Motor City thing, you should probably commit to that with the hat too.
Both. Yeah. Like, yeah, true. Or a logo that complements the Motor City across the front.
Yeah. Something like that. But I mean, that being said, I still like the hats. I still love the uniforms. I think they look fantastic. I think they're among the best City Connects that I've seen, to be honest.
I agree. I like the coloring. I mean, it still kind of captures the Tigers blue. And I like you see on the side, they have the standard traditional D logo kind of in a.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they did a very, very good job with these.
I think they're pretty solid. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Some of them are wacky.
Some of them are weird. So just to recap the first like 10 minutes or so of this podcast, Nate, we've talked about bees and we've talked about uniforms. Happy winning your fantasy leagues, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about baseball players for a minute. I brought up a tweet or a stat from a tweet, and I tried to give it to you, and I was like, wait, we'll just do this live on air. So yeah. Between 2022 and 2024, which pitcher do you think has the most saves?
So I did not look this up. You mentioned it a second ago to me, so I've been thinking about it just to be full transparency. I'm guessing it's Emmanuel Class A.
It is. Who do you think is second?
So
this gives the top few, but you only need the first and second to understand how crazy the stat is.
So the second was, that would be harder because like Edwin Diaz had a really good year, but then he was hurt.
Edwin Diaz is not listed here.
Is it Jordan Romano?
It is Jordan Romano.
Oh, wow.
Here's how insane this is. Jordan Romano, also great guesses, by the way. Fantastic.
Thank you. I was thinking about actually my fantasy teams the last couple seasons.
Jordan Romano from 2022 to 2024, according to this tweet. So if the stats are wrong, don't yell at me. This is from Cleveland Stats or CLE_stats on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. Jordan Romano has 76 saves between 2022 and 2024. He's in second place.
Okay.
Emmanuel Class A in first place, 97 saves.
Wow. So this is including so far this year. Whatever they have.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, so, I would have to because 2024. But wow. That's still crazy.
That is insane.
That is 21 saves up on the next highest.
That's a big jump. And to have that big of a gap, you have to have a lot of different things in play. Like, you have no injuries, obviously, right? Consistency, good enough teams to get save chances. A manager that has the strategy to just have one closer and not like a bullpen by committee. So,
and so you're taking Emmanuel Class A with his high octane cutters and his high octane everything, and you mix that in with the Cleveland Guardians, who have just consistently win the Central because no one else is going to.
Yeah,
and you mix that in with a little Terry Francona. Got yourself some saves.
Yeah, that is a crazy stat. I mean, and he's only what, like 24, 25 years old?
Oh, he's got to be older than that at this point. As I 26? Type in, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up as we talk. Old.
It's surprising.
Wow, he's 26.
Okay, 26.
I would have told you 28. Like, I didn't think he was in his 30s, but I thought he was getting there.
So, yeah, I mean, that's still pretty young. For what I'm getting at is, you know, for looking down the road at career, if he can keep up this pace, it's an insane pace.
Well, and even look back, he started that run at 24 years old, right? 23, 24.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pretty impressive for him overall. We've had some call-ups, Nate, call-ups happening. Kyle Manzardo, a guy we've talked about a little bit. He was called up by the Guardians since we're talking about the Guardians.
Yes. I remember we talked about him in one of our first two episodes, and we were kind of surprised he was sent down, but here he is, I guess, a little over a month into the season. Should provide some power. and hitting with for the Guardians. But you remember we were talking about originally with him and De Los Santos, who then now has left the Guardians organization. But will Manzardo get plugged in then at first base for the Guardians, or third base, or what do you think is going to happen there? Because they have what's his name at first base?
Naylor.
The brother, one of the two brothers. Yeah, Naylor brothers.
Josh Naylor.
Josh Naylor, who's pretty good in his own right.
Yeah. You know, they're just going to have to find a spot for him. I'm not sure. I'll be honest. Past few days, I've been very unplugged. So I'm not sure if somebody got hurt and went to the IL. Oh. I'm not sure if he just earned the call up or not, but.
You're exactly right. I just pulled up a story here. Stephen Kwan, their outfield, they're kind of their strong hitter with no power. Stephen Kwan, he was injured, and then they called Manzardo up, who is going to DH and bat seventh in his debut. So there
he DH in his debut. He went 0-3.
Okay, so yeah, I kind of overlooked the DH perspective. I suppose he could do that.
Yeah, but again, they've had people in there, so it's just a matter of fitting those puzzle pieces together. Hopefully he bounces back from 0-3 and starts hitting the ball, and they'll find a spot for him. I mean, that's how it works, right? You got to earn your spot, and no spots are guaranteed. Just ask Mr. Jackson Holliday. So
that's right.
It's just, yeah, he's got to, you know, hopefully he'll hit. Obviously, 0-3 in your debut, you're not saying he can't hit or anything like that, but, you know, if he's got to turn it around if he wants to stay.
Exactly. And it's someone I would take a look at, see how he does this first week. You may want to make a move for him. I would say he's good enough to have an impact this season.
Another guy I want to talk about before we go to break, if he stays, that got called up, that I think is worth taking a look at. Don't pick him up now. Do not pick him up now. I would not recommend it. But if he stays with the Giants, pitcher Mason Black, he got called up, made his debut again. Didn't go very well. He threw like four innings, gave up, I think, 5 runs, 8 hits, struck out 4, walked 3. You don't need to rush to pick him up. Obviously, that wasn't a fantastic debut. But if he gets another shot, whew, I like Mason Black a lot. I really do. I'm a fan. I don't know if you know much about him, Nate.
I don't, so...
I would recommend
the background on him. Be good.
I would recommend looking up his videos and watching his slider. His slider is kind of nuts. I think it's awesome. But bear in mind, the bulk of what I'm basing this on is from his lower minors experience. So I liked him coming out of college when he was playing, you know, pitching in San Jose, low A, and in high A for the Giants. Comes up today, things don't go very well, but keep in mind his triple A stats before getting called up this year. Obviously small sample, but he was pitching really, really well in triple A. He was 2-1 with a 1.01 ERA, 26 innings, 29 strikeouts, and a 0.9 whip in his 6 games before being called up. So yeah, take from today good. What you will. I mean, He threw 4 innings and struck out 4. He walked quite a bit, gave up quite a bit of hits, right? That's a formula that's going to lead to runs being given up. It was also his debut. Maybe he was nervous, right? Maybe he does give up a bunch of hits. Maybe the walks come down and things look a little bit better. I don't know, but I do think that he has enough to become bare minimum somebody you can stream against bad offenses. So if he sticks around, I really do believe that he's going to be able to contribute. And I like Mason Black a lot. So again, Nate, I don't know if you know much about him. I don't know if you've looked him up since we've been talking, but do you have any thoughts here on Mason Black?
Yeah, I was looking him up right here. It said, kind of interesting, it said he's a Pennsylvania native, made his debut in Philly against his childhood team. So maybe there was a little more pressure on him. You know, it's potential that you're more nervous if you're playing in front of your hometown fans or maybe family there, whatever. But the story I'm reading describes his repertoire, he pairs a mid to upper 90 sinker with a wipeout slider. So there it is.
The slider is bonkers.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that.
On the expected starting pitching article that came out, today, the day we're recording, my note for the Giants is Mason Black is going to make his MLB debut. He's been fantastic in AAA. Enjoy a slider. It's disgusting. Now, he came out against Philly, like you mentioned, and that's not an easy road to follow.
No.
His next three projected outings, if he sticks around that long for one, and two, if the rotation holds the way it is, he is projected to face Cincinnati at home. He is projected to face Colorado at home. And he is projected to face Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. All of those are offenses he should be able to settle in and have good outings against.
Yeah.
Again, if he stays up for one and if that rotation as it stands now holds, those things change all the time. So there's opportunity.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And right now he's taking the spot of Blake Snell, who's hurt. But, I mean, the Giants, typically that's thought of as a pitcher's park or pitcher-friendly park, right? And I think that if he's at home and he can get settled in, yeah, I would think he has a chance to do something, make some noise.
Yeah, and it's his opportunity to lose. If not, he goes back down, works on some stuff, and then with the Giants, you're still looking at maybe Carson Wisenhunt coming up at some point or somebody else filling a spot if they need it. I look at their rotation. I think the rotation can move around a little bit. I'm not sure how Keaton Wynn is doing, to be completely fair, but I project him long-term maybe as a solid bullpen arm if they need him to. So if they got a starter they really like, there's ways to work them in. You know what I mean? So that should be a pretty interesting rotation to follow, I would say.
Yeah, and actually, a little bit later, I may speak on Keaton Wynn. I had a little note prepared for him, so there we
read
go.
Read the notes, Trevor. What are you doing?
A little foreshadowing.
We're going to foreshadow that for right after the break. We're going to take a quick time out here to hear from our wonderful sponsors when we come back. Nate's just going to talk about Keaton Wynn. I'm going to put the microphone down, and that's just how it's going to be. We got more coming up here. You're listening to Coffee Talk on the Pitcher List Podcast Network.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Save big money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Spring is here, meaning time for outdoor projects. Cabot Australian Timber Oil is perfect for decks, siding, and outdoor furniture while providing maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency. Save big money on Cabot exterior stains to get your staining project started today. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
And welcome back to Coffee Talk on the Pitcherless Podcast Network, where we are always ready for that next cup of coffee. My name is Trevor Huth. I am joined by Nate Kosher, and I jumped the gun a little bit on Keaton Wynn. So We talked about him right before the break. We're going to talk about him right after the break. Maybe we should have just held off on Mason Black altogether and talked about him all. It doesn't matter because well, right now, here we are.
Anyways, yeah.
We are in the world of Keaton Win now. So, Nate, I'm not even going to intro it. I think we've done enough of that already. Just take it away. Talk to us about Keaton Win.
Right. So, yes. Keaton Win, he was on a pretty good run of starts. I had him kind of earmarked to talk about. And his previous start was just Saturday. He did not do well. The game was delayed by rain, and they were playing the Phillies, the Giants were, and probably conditions affected the pitchers, obviously. But Wynn only threw 39 pitches, but that was all in the first inning before he was pulled, and it was a poor outing. So I think we can kind of just scratch that. But prior to that, he had three straight starts where he pitched six innings and allowed only one run in each of those starts. And so I was kind of keeping an eye on him to see, is this someone to pick up? I would say before that last start, it was looking good. Now here's his season stats. Now he's 3-4 with a 4.41 ERA, 28 strikeouts and 34.2, but a 1.13 whip. Hasn't walked very many people this season. One walk in each of his previous two starts before the bad one against the Phillies. And so just someone that I caught my eye, like you said, the Giants rotation, a little bit in flux, I guess, but he's put together a nice little.
Yeah. And you know what, before that break, Nate, I had mentioned him being a bullpen arm, and I hope that doesn't come across negatively, because I never mean it that way.
Sure.
There are very specific profiles that when you see them as starters, you can believe they have a chance to make it in a bullpen role. And it's not everybody. And when I, you know, what I'm basing this off of is watching Wynn through the minor leagues and seeing a guy who had a high octane fastball and had a pretty decent slider. And when I saw him, which, again, I may see guys two or three times in a year, or I may see him once and not look at him again for 2 years. It's just a matter of you know, sometimes I surf box scores and watch the games that look interesting to me. Unless I'm, you know, writing a scouting report or something. I've never written a scouting report on Keaton Wynn. So take it all with a grain of salt. But what I'm watching him is, he didn't have the lockdown command of anything, but he had the big stuff. You know, I was just looking back because I knew I watched him and tweeted out at one time. This was back in 2022, but he struck out 7 in 3 innings and was 96, 97 with the fastball, had a nice slider. And, you know, he was getting swings and misses, but the pitches weren't very close to the zone. And that was, I think, concerning to me too. And
right.
Obviously, he's figured something out because he's a big league starter right now. One way or the other, he's a big league starter at the moment. And that's awesome. Yes. And as you mentioned, he's put together some very nice starts. My question is, and this, I think this is where my head's at when I say I see him as a bullpen arm. My question is, if you can shorten up this dude who, when I saw him starting, and I guess I don't know what he's hitting now, but he was getting into the upper 90s as a starter with a good slider, and I think some form of changeup. I called it a splitter on Twitter, so we'll go with that. But he had this stuff. At what point do you think, you know what, we have Carson Wisenhunt, we have Mason Black. Those guys can fill starts about the same way Keaton Wynn can. Should we give him a chance to let that high-octane fastball and that good slider play up? You know, and maybe that 96-97 becomes 99-100, and he's got a big slider, and you have a very solid and reliable reliever. And that's kind of where my head's at with it, whether that's right, whether that's right or not, you know, that's just one man's opinion. But so when I talk about Mason Wynn or Keaton Wynn, I'm going to keep confusing him and Mason Black. But when I keep talking about Keaton Wynn and seeing him, you know, is he a long-term starter? Is he a bullpen role? It's not a bad thing. he's got a ton of talent in his arm. It's just a matter of where it's going to play best.
Yeah, I think exactly like you're saying, not every person who's a starter and becomes a reliever is like a failed starter, quote unquote. It's just that they have a skill set maybe that's suited better for the bullpen. And I was looking at his pitcher list, his player page here on pitcherlist.com, and the stats here support exactly what you said. On his fastballs, averaging 95.6 this season, opposing hitters are only managing a 115 average against it, which puts him in the 95th percentile. But as you stated, zone percentage with the fastball is 42.5%, which only puts him in the 14th percentile among big league pitchers. So there you go. It's kind of exactly what you said. Splitter he uses most often, followed by his four seamer. And then they have classified a sinker and a slider for him here. But yeah, all of them he throws pretty hard. Like if you're looking at the percentile across Major League Baseball, is splitter in the 89th percentile, sinker 80th percentile, and slider 82 for velocity. So I think the stats kind of back up what you were saying.
I'll tell you what, I don't ever claim to be good at anything, but sometimes back in the day, a few years ago, I definitely knew what I was talking about. Sometimes don't know 100% all the time, but every now and then.
So we'll have to see what happens with him. But even if he moves to a relief role, if he can keep down the walks and induce strikeouts, still someone who could be useful from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's use Emmanuel Class A as an example. He was never a full-time starter or anything, but going through the minor league system, there was 1 year in 2017 where he got six starts and 10 appearances. So a lot, you know, if you're a talented player, you're going to come into an organization as a starter and they're going to use you as a starter until proven otherwise. Sometimes you might just be better off in the bullpen. I think that's kind of the point I was trying to make. And I just happened to have Keaton Wynn to do it with. But again, don't let that, like, that was not negative towards Keaton Wynn. Keaton Wynn is a very talented pitcher and a lot of fun to watch if you haven't watched him before. So just want to make sure I didn't come across in the wrong light there. Speaking of players who've been good, though, Andy Pages.
Yes.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. I would say this is someone who is a priority pickup if he's still available in your league. He's been on fire over the last couple weeks. He's now hitting .319, four home runs and 12 RBI in 69 at-bats, 74 plate appearances. He's been putting together some nice, really nice games for the Dodgers, slugging .565 currently. So some of these numbers are going to slow down, but I would say this is someone right now without reservation, I would go ahead and pick him up. He's been doing very well. I don't know if you've seen anything from him, but we talked about him a couple weeks ago. And I think it's someone to pick up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've seen lots and lots of Andy Pages in my life. Don't get me wrong. I loved watching him, especially when he was in the Midwest League, because he would just crush home runs. And yes, pick him up. Realize that as an upper level minors player, he was, you know, in Double A in 2022, he hit .236 and then he hit .284 the following year in the same level. But realize that something's going to level off here.
Yeah,
he's 23 years old, and I know you said that, Nate, but he's 23 years old, and his calling card is power. So at a certain point, the hitting is going to slow down, and that will slow everything else down. That doesn't mean he's going to fall off the face of the planet, but you just can't. I mean, obviously it's a hot streak and you can't expect it to last forever. Just don't get frustrated if there's an extended slump that follows this extreme hot streak. As I said, I've seen a lot of Andy Pages, man. He'll figure it out, but he does go through these spells where he just seems like, you know, he's not hitting a whole lot. And he's always come out of it, obviously, and right now he's seeing the ball very, very well. But just my word of caution to you, if you have if you roster Andy Pages, if you're going to pick him up and he's somehow still available in your league, if you're going to go try to trade for him, just understand that when it does slow down, it could come to a screeching halt, right? But it should pick up again. So I love the power. I'm a big Andy Pages fan. I know I've said that before. It's been awesome to see him come up and do this because it feels like he's been a prospect forever.
He has had a couple of years. Well, 2021 in high A and 2022 in double A, where he played, you know, basically full seasons, and he had 132 strikeouts in 120 games and 140 strikeouts in 132 games. So that was the year he hit 236. Like you said,
age to level, though, they're huge point to make. Age to level is important to realize.
But there could be some strikeouts that you have to accept. But still, he's been hot. That's the point, and he's been hitting the ball very well.
This is what you come to Coffee Talk for. The player's playing well. Put him on your team.
Yeah, that's the equation.
Hard hitting analysis. Oh, I love it. All right, let's move on to how about Tyler Black out of Milwaukee.
Yes, another guy got the call last week.
And we've talked about him before, too.
We did, yeah. I wanted to see, there it is, 6 days ago. What I thought was cool about this, his dad was doing – so his dad – I don't know if you saw this. His dad was in the stands, and he's – they kind of cut to him and they let him kind of call, make the broadcasting call for his son's debut, which apparently he is a Canadian sports announcer and used to call Blue Jays games. So
I did not know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I did not know that either, but apparently they were on a family vacation. Tyler Black got called up, and so they quickly made it to Milwaukee. And then, like, during the broadcast, they let him make the call. So it was pretty cool. He said something like, oh, that's a hit for my boy or my son. Really cool moment for that family. And obviously proud father moment.
Yeah, that is really cool. That man, I love baseball moments like that.
They're, yeah.
Just so genuine.
We have a lot of them this week.
We do, apparently.
Unique things.
Now, that's a cool moment. Let's talk about Tyler Black and his statistical output. He is hitting .211. He has two doubles in four hits and has struck out seven times in 19 at-bats. So, in terms of performance... I know cool moments are cool moments. In terms of performance, are we worried about Tyler Black?
Yeah, you know, not hasn't shown much yet, obviously. I guess it's been about a week, like you said. He was in AAA this year. He was hitting pretty well, above 300. And if you look throughout his career, he has tended to hit the ball pretty well for average. Not as much power as a guy like Pages, but someone that could hit home runs. I guess I haven't seen enough of him yet to make the call. It's still pretty early. He does have multi-position eligibility, or he should soon. So that's a plus, but I don't think I'm picking him up immediately, rushing out to get him.
Me either, and Nate, I think either you and I talked about this or I talked about this with Jake, but Tyler Black is a very good hit tool player. His power is not all there all the time. I think his power is best described as fringe, probably that 45 grade on the 2080 scale. Mm-hmm. And so you're not relying on his power output and you're hoping he hits enough. And his hit tool is above average. I think I'd put it at a 55. He's also a good runner, so you might get some speed output. But the question is, does his profile fit what you're looking for in terms of fantasy baseball? And as much as I like Tyler Black as a player, because I love hit tool players, like I was big on Tyler Freeman as well with Cleveland, because I loved his ability to hit the ball. I thought that he was able to cover the zone really well, and all this stuff could be said about Tyler Black. But those plus hit tool fringe power guys are kind of hard sometimes for fantasy. So I'm with you where you don't just run right in to pick him up. He could figure it out. He could be a useful option in fantasy baseball, especially if you're in an average league down the road. Obviously not right now. He's hitting 211. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's a hard profile to project out in terms of how he can help you fantasy wise.
Yeah, it is. And there's not, you know, one, like you said, one tool that is kind of so exciting that it just takes over and it's someone you need to grab right away. Going to need to see a little bit more from him, obviously, but I think he was, I was just looking at it, among the Brewers' top prospects. I was going to look at what number he was.
Well, we talked about him because he was 41st on MLB Pipeline's top 100 list. So he's definitely up there.
He was number 4 in the Brewers system. So, yeah, I mean, he's obviously talented, but I don't think it's someone you need to add right away.
No, not at all. And you know what? By no means a comparison. By no means am I doing any sort of comparing right here. And I want that to be very clear, Nate. I am not comparing these two players.
Okay.
So let me compare these two players compare these two players a little bit. So in terms of like wanting to rush to pick somebody up, just because we talked about him earlier and you had mentioned there's no tool that stands out as being amazing, right? That'd be Tyler Black's hit tool is probably his carrying tool, or maybe it's his speed. But when you're talking about somebody you're going to rush to pick up, let's talk about Ellie De La Cruz for a minute. When he got promoted, everybody wanted a piece of it because he had massive power out potential. He had massive speed. Like he had these big tools where you're like, man, I need that. Let's go back a ways. Vlad Guerrero Jr. had that massive power that everybody was so excited about, to where when he got called up in the middle of the year, you want to go get him. You know, and there's guys like that. And I know that those are the top prospects and I get that, but you know, like, Mason Black gets called up and I'm talking to you about his big slider and how that could be helpful to get you strikeouts. There's just, when you look at Tyler Black, if his carrying tool is his hit tool and you're kind of hoping his average helps you in fantasy, that makes it really hard for him to be the guy you just want to jump at. And again, that says nothing about how good he is as a baseball player, because he can play baseball really well. I have been a fan of him since the draft. There's text evidence if you want to go search Tyler Black in my Twitter handle. Okay, I love Tyler Black. The question is, though, does his skill set relate to fantasy? And not every player does.
Yeah, exactly. And it may not. That might just be the case. I don't remember who we were talking about last week, who, when we talked about better in real life than fantasy, he could be another one of those people.
Yeah, and sometimes that's half the battle, because you see these players who are high up on lists, but it's like, do I want to jump at them? Like, are those, especially in Dynasty, I know we mostly focus on redraft, but especially in Dynasty, it's like, do I really want this player? Are they really going to help me from a fantasy standpoint, or are they just rated high because they're a good real life baseball player?
And if you have limited, you know, money to spend or maximum amount of moves you can make over the course of the season in your league, you have to obviously be mindful and take the swings at the absolute studs, and so he's probably not one of those, but we'll see. See what happens.
Could turn out. I mean, listen, I say this, and I mean, top of my head, 2 years ago, I think he hit close to 20 home runs in a season. I don't know that he's replicated that, but I'm pretty sure he was at 18, 19 home runs at one point recently. So the power can play. It's just a matter of maybe what environment he's in. Mm-hmm. You know, is he in a hitter's park or is he in a pitcher's park? Who's he slated to play? Like, how deep do you want to go to get maybe into Tyler Black's power? And maybe that's what you have to do. So speaking of those prospect lists that rate guys based on how good they are at baseball, we're going to jump back into MLB Pipeline's top 100 starting at number 80. But before we do that, Nate, we are going to take a quick break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. So we will be right back on Coffee Talk on the Pitcher List podcast.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards, we have all the garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center and update your backyard. Get a clean edge around gardens and flower beds with Terrace Board Landscape Edging. Available in black or brown, it's easy to install and blocks the spreading of grass and weeds. Save big on landscape options at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Network. And welcome back to Coffee Talk on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Trevor Huth. Nate the Great Kosher is the other voice that you are hearing on this podcast. And we're a part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, and we're always ready for that next cup of coffee. That's why we have so much energy all the time. We constantly drink coffee. Ever since we started Coffee Talk, Nate, I have had one cup of coffee every hour on the hour. I do not sleep anymore. I am always ready for that next cup of coffee. I am not lying to you.
Just okay. Researching prospects 24/7.
Okay. That's a lie. I don't have that much coffee. But don't tell our listeners that. I just told our listeners that. It's fine. We're going to jump into the MLB Pipeline's top 100 list so I stop getting all goofy. And we're starting at number 80. That's where we left off. Number 80, Nate, I'll leave this up to you. We've talked about him quite a bit already, I think, on this podcast. That's Aurelvis Martinez. So do you have any bonus thoughts on Aurelvis Martinez? Are you kind of good with what we've talked about in prior episodes?
Yeah, I think I'm good. I know we have talked about him. And so he has not been called up yet. But speaking of power, this is a guy with power. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and again, if you're worried about previous numbers, this was a guy we talked about age to level with and all that stuff. Got a line of pitchers here. 81, Hurston Waldrep with the Atlanta Braves. Do you have any strong feelings about Hurston Waldrep?
You know, I don't. It seems like I heard something about him lately, but I don't recall what it is. I know they have his ETA here at 2024, so we'll see. But looking at his skill set, could be another bullpen situation guy with a good fastball and splitter rated most highly. the Braves seemed like for a while they had a lot of young, talented pitchers, but they haven't all panned out. And they traded Jared Schuster, right? And then
yes,
what's his? I just can't think of the name, people's names tonight. But on paper, it seems like they've had a lot of. I need to look up their roster.
They have. I mean, look. Let's just go a trip down memory lane with the Braves here. And this is just off the top of my head, Nate. So I'm going to forget people. Let's start with Tuki Toussaint. Then you can go with Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright was there at one point and was supposed to be huge, and it took him a while. I mean, there's been a lot. It's been a long line.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, Max those are both Fried. Great examples.
Max Fried, Ian Anderson, obviously Spencer Strider, they work out too, but you know, there's been a lot of these guys that have just come through, and there's somebody who came up around the same time as Tuki Toussaint, and I can't, Sean Newcomb, boom, Nuke, the lefty, Sean Newcomb, yes, he was supposed to be the next big thing too. There were so many. It feels like every year they have the next big thing.
So that's kind of what I was getting at. And, I don't know why not all of them have panned out, and it seems like some of them have been swings and misses. I think Kyle Wright was good, or I mean, he had one great season.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. Toussaint's bounced around.
And is a bullpen arm now.
Now, yeah, exactly. Oh, Dylan Dodd, there's another one.
Dylan Dodd. And I think the other guy you're thinking of, when you had mentioned Jared Schuster, you're probably thinking of Ryan Cusick. Because in back-to-back years, the Braves spent first-round picks on pitchers from Wake Forest, and it was Jared Schuster and then Ryan Cusick. And Ryan Cusick went to Oakland in the Sean Murphy trade, and they traded Schuster to Chicago this past offseason.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's what it was. So I don't know why I just have all of these different guys in my head, and they haven't all panned out. So I don't know what that means, but it just seems like there's been a trend lately. So that's my thought.
What Nate is asking is what makes Hurston Waldrep different?
There you go.
I have a couple ideas. One is that his stuff is absolutely insane in a way that I couldn't tell you I don't know that I've ever thought about some of these other guys. So not that the other guys have bad stuff, but I'm just going to use, I've brought him up. Like, I love using Baseball America. They give him a plus grade. So a 60 grade on his fastball and slider. And they give him a 65 grade on his changeup. That is 3 plus or better pitches.
Wow.
Yes. The issue is command. So obviously that could throw a wrench in this whole thing, but, the stuff's there, and I think that's kind of what makes him different. He came out of the draft last year out of Florida and just dazzled.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I like Waldrep a lot. I think he stays in the rotation personally. It's just, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Hopefully he gets a chance this year. So let's move on to another arm then, and that will be Chase Hampton with the Yankees.
Yes, so... Chase Hampton listed here. He is number 82. He's 6'2", 220. Right now is in AA, but expected on MLB Pipeline to debut this year. Once again, the Yankees have done some interesting things with pitchers. They, in his little summary here, it says he has the upside of a number 3 starter. And we'll be able to help the Yankees as soon as he fine tunes his command. So another guy needs to work on his command, his fastball. He has a good fastball and slider as well. But hasn't made the bigs yet. Could possibly make the big leagues. I don't know how the Yankees are doing this season, to be honest.
Really,
are
really
they doing
well.
Anything?
Their pitching good? Staff has been crazy. They hit the ball, you know. They're okay.
They've bounced back. I saw Aaron Judge got kicked out of his first career game.
Against the Tigers.
Was that against the Tigers?
Yes. He said some naughty words to the umpire. Still, I don't know how you throw him out if you're the umpire. Because he's Aaron Judge.
Here's some intel we should have probably led with. Hampton's actually hurt right now. He is yet to make his debut. He had right shoulder discomfort coming out of spring training. So this was just a day ago. Aaron Boone said he's probably about a month away from rejoining the rotation in Double A. So he's fighting off an injury. So maybe that makes it less likely he is going to debut this season.
Yeah, that would do it.
If he hasn't begun throwing it, yeah, probably not going to happen.
Listen, I'm wrong all the time about stuff. It's part of the game here. If you would like my opinion on Chase Hampton, to keep it within the pitcher list vocabulary, future Toby.
There we go.
That's kind of, I mean,
yep.
Pretty talented arm, but I don't know. I've never been wowed personally.
Not very exciting.
That doesn't mean anything. So we're going to keep moving along here. 83 would be Bubba Chandler with the Pirates. He's projected ETA of 2025. Blake Mitchell, catcher, just drafted by the Royals. Big fan. Not projected until 2027. 85 is Bryce Eldridge in A ball right now. 86, Ryan Clifford with the Mets. He is in high A. Chase Petty, projected for 2025. He is at 87. He's with the Reds. I love Chase Petty. Chase Petty. You know what? We're stopping here because I've seen Chase Petty live.
Let's hear about that.
I saw his high A debut. So I was seeing some big stuff. I saw his high A debut and he got hit around and I thought he looked fantastic. Here's the thing. Chase Petty is a high velocity arm and was through the draft. He was, I think he touched triple digits pre-draft. Obviously this is max effort bullpens. That's not where he's going to sit, but he could throw the ball pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who can throw the ball hard out of high school, you wonder where the rest of it is. And when I saw Chase Petty, his best offering in my eyes was his slider. His slider was absolutely fantastic, and he used it really well. And he obviously still had the pretty decent velo. He looked like he was making his high A debut, right? He looked like he was still learning how to pitch and be a pitcher and not somebody who can just throw the ball really hard with a pretty nasty slider. And I think that was a huge step once he got there. It was the same with Jackson Jobe. High school arms have to learn how to pitch before they're going to look good. They're going to look bad for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's what's tough about drafting them, because they have to learn how to pitch against professional baseball players. Because, like, I played baseball in college, and I'm not even relatively close to the talent of a professional baseball player, right? It's a whole different ball game. And so, sometimes it takes those guys a minute. And I was blown away by his stuff, so I'm a big Chase Petty fan. I think there's more to give, and I think he's just going to keep climbing, not to the point of Jackson Jobe, but I do think he's got a lot of talent and will be a pretty good starter. The only problem is he's going to call Great American Ballpark home.
Yeah, that's always something to keep in the back of the mind with any Reds pitchers.
So 88, this guy's actually projected to be in St. Louis this year, according to MLB Pipeline. That is Tekoa Roby. They just got him from Texas. Do you have any thoughts on Tekoa Roby, Nate?
That's the Jordan Montgomery trade. I believe he came over in.
Yes.
I don't know too much about him. Personally, it looks like he also, all of these guys can dial up the radar gun, though. He touched as high as 99 miles an hour in the Arizona Fall League. And his four seamer played up with good extension and flat angle. He has a upper 70s curveball and a low 80s slider. That's pretty good repertoire himself.
The curveball is really good. I mean, the curveball is really good.
Just throwing that
out there.
They have him as a potential mid-rotation starter. So could that be another bullpen guy, though, with a strong curveball and a heater? You know, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. When I have talked to my friends that are smarter than me about Tekoa Robi, they have said nothing but positive things about him. I am so in on Tekoa Robi just from his stuff. When I've watched him, I mentioned the curveball is really, really good. I really love the curveball. I like the way he operates on the mound. You mentioned the velo. He uses his arsenal well. The big question with Tekoa Robi for me, and for most people, I'm sure, is health. He has been hurt a lot. He's been in and out. Like, that's what's holding him back. Maybe that's what pushes him to the bullpen too, Nate. But true. I think he has the stuff to start if he can stay healthy. And I'm very interested to see what happens if he stays healthy.
Yeah, it mentions some elbow and arm injuries, and he missed the beginning of last season, and 2021 he was also injured. So once again, I mean, that's the thing with anytime we're talking about pitchers, and especially people are still in the minors throwing hard, it's so hard to project if they're going to be healthy or not in the next couple of years. We hope they remain healthy, but we know that's not the case.
If anybody ever figures out a way to predict if someone's going to get hurt, let us know. I would love to get rich with
that. That would be great. Yes.
Yes. Yes. No, that's unfortunately just part of this game, right? And we see these promising careers get derailed by injury, and you hate to see it. You hate to see it. And unfortunately for Tekoa Robi, for all his injuries so far, he's still seen as a top 100 prospect. So hopefully he can make a comeback. I mean, you know who else had a career in the minor leagues that was filled with injury that, you know, people kind of wrote him off? Cole Reagans.
Oh, yeah.
Cole Reagans missed 2, maybe 3 years because he had back-to-back TJ surgeries, if I'm not mistaken. He could have had other injuries, but he definitely missed 2, maybe 3 years because I think it was 2 years with injury and 1 year because of the COVID year. He didn't pitch professionally for 3 years after getting drafted in the first round by the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, he's and turned now, out all right.
And now he's Nick Pollock's favorite pitcher. So, right. I mean, right, like the injuries through the minors don't necessarily indicate future injuries, arm injuries, issues, and whatnot, but it is cause for concern, and I think the same can be said for Tekoa Robi. And Nate, we're going to talk about one more guy. We're going to leave it at number 89. That's a guy we've talked about before, a guy who's seen Major League Baseball, and a guy who did not perform that well when he was in the majors. That's Victor Scott. He hasn't really done much since going down either. He's hitting 186 since being sent down. So where do we stand with Victor Scott?
Yeah, it was someone I was excited about him. I actually picked him up, I think, in a couple of leagues, spent some free agent budget on him just because of that speed. But he kind of flopped in that first go round. He didn't play well at all. So, I mean, it's still someone to monitor because of his speed. You know, it could be a real difference, even if he's not performing great. He still has a chance to probably steal a lot of bases, even if he comes back up off the bench, even, you know, as a pinch runner. But just needs to figure some things out, obviously, to get back with the Cardinals.
Like the hitting part of being a hitter.
I don't mean
that negatively. Yeah. He just isn't hitting the ball very well right now. He has in the past. He probably will again. But
good defender.
He's not hitting the ball right now. Speed,
but, yeah, not hitting. So he needs to work through some things in AAA. And I mean, I wouldn't think he will not come back this season. I'd be surprised, I guess, if he didn't go back to the majors, but
you know, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying this is happening with Victor Scott, not even close, but for whatever reason, just thinking about him, because I felt it was kind of a surprise. I mean, it was an injury caused it, but it was kind of a surprise when he got called up,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can actually hurt a player by calling them up too soon. because they get in over their head, they lose themselves, they lose their swing, whatever the case may be.
Lose confidence.
And I'm not, again, not saying that's what's happening with Victor Scott. I think he's just having trouble hitting the ball right now and things will turn around. But like when we talk about the Rule 5 draft, when we talk about Davis and De Los Santos, if the Guardians had kept him, right? Like it could have actually hurt his future potential. I always think back to when I first started in baseball content, I was writing about the Cardinals and the Padres selected a Cardinals prospect in the Rule 5 draft named Alan Cordoba. And Cordoba, I mean, he was a pretty well thought of prospect within the Cardinals organization from all I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the Padres. And I mean, he kicked around Double A for the next couple of years after his Rule 5 year. And now I don't even think he's in baseball anymore.
Yeah, that was it.
Right, that was it. And this was a guy who had potential. So, you know, sometimes rushing, you know, we get angry. Why isn't this prospect up? Whatever. But sometimes the teams are right. Like, maybe,
yeah, I mean, you know, they know more than us. Obviously, as a fantasy player and a fan, you want to see these talented players get called up, and why aren't they up? But there are good reasons for doing what they do.
There are, and there are also bad reasons for not having them up. I mean, I'm just to be blunt about it, right?
I mean, guys, we've talked about Paul Skeens.
I was just about to say, where's Paul Skeens?
Yeah,
but you know, these are just people that work in Major League Baseball. They're very smart people with access to things that we don't have, but they make good and bad decisions too, right? So there's good reasons, there's bad reasons, whatever the case may be. But you just hope that's not what's happening with Victor Scott. I think that's where my head's at. I don't believe for a second that that's what's happening. But when a guy struggles major leagues, he goes to AAA, now he's hitting 186. I mean, there's something going on.
That's rough. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's in his swing. I don't know if it's in his approach. I don't know if it's in his head. But I'm also not paid to know that necessarily, right? I don't work for the Cardinals, but you hope that whatever it is, that the ship will right itself soon and we will get vintage Victor Scott back. And maybe he does this at AAA for a while, regains his confidence, gets another chance. And all of a sudden, Victor Scott's roaming center field in St. Louis.
You never know.
That's what you can hope for, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So once again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tagging us. That meant a whole lot. I mean, I texted Nate. I was so excited that you guys were able to go find that play and share it with us. So thank you guys again.
Yeah,
we love our listeners. Obviously, we couldn't do this without you. So big thank you to that. Make sure to be around next week when our episode drops, because we will have Pat Venditti. We're going to be talking about switch pitching, and it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for that. We're going to get so nerdy. It's going to be fantastic. And we're going to have that coming up. So make sure to give Nate a follow at Nathaniel Kosher on X. My name's Trevor Huth. I'm at Huth Trevor. And of course, this is Coffee Talk. You can follow our page at Coffee Talk PL. And that's where you'll find all of our episodes, all that fun stuff. And again, just thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back in a week. For Nate Kosher, my name is Trevor Huth. This has been Coffee Talk on the Pitcherless Podcast Network.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
You already know you're going to eat some of those McDonald's golden fries on the drive home. So, you may as well add an extra order just for that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.